o'clock. Good morning, and welcome to Trinity Lutheran Church in Alamosa. We're glad you tuned in today. Trinity Lutheran is located at 52 El Rio Drive in Alamosa, Colorado. Pastor Jason Cody and the congregation at Trinity Lutheran welcome you to join them every Sunday, in person or right here on KSPK. And now, let's take you live to this morning's worship service with Pastor Jason Cody.
Good morning. Please stand if you're able and face the back of the sanctuary for the beginning of our service this morning. We gather together around our Lord's word this morning, thankful for his grace and his forgiveness, and celebrate today the ascension of our Lord Jesus as he ascended into the heavens to send his Holy Spirit to be with us always according to his promise. We begin in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins as a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority. I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. We continue with our processional hymn this morning. It's hymn 525, Crown Him with Many Crowns. Let's sing. Amen. We continue with our responsive introit there from Psalm 110. God has gone up with a shout, the Lord with the sound of a trumpet.
The Lord says to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool.
The Lord has sworn and will not change his mind. You are a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek.
The Lord is at your right hand. He will shatter kings on the day of his wrath. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
God has gone up with a shout, the Lord with the sound of a trumpet. In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Amen.
Glory to God in the highest, and peace to his people on earth. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, as your only begotten Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, ascended into the heavens, so may we also ascend in heart and mind and continually dwell there with him who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated. Our first reading for today, our celebration of the Ascension of our Lord, comes from the book of Acts in the first chapter. In the first book, O Theophilus, I have dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day when he was taken up, after he had given commands through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. To them he presented himself alive after his suffering by many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. And while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? He said to them, it is not for you to know the times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. And when he had said these things as they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. And while they were gazing into heaven, as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes and said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus who is taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way you saw him go into heaven." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We invite the children forward now for our children's sermon. Hello. How are you guys today?
Great.
Good. Who do we bring up here to children's sermon today? What are their names?
Sky.
Mango.
Mango.
Sky.
Bella. And Farah. Wow. Mango, Sky, Bella, and Farah, along with Jeffrey's at the table. He was at the Bible study then. Was he at the Bible study? Oh, he was in Sunday school. Oh, that's even better. Aaron. Oh, good. Okay. Another Sky when she was a baby and Mix. Wonderful. Wonderful. Okay. So a whole big bunch of folks to listen to our lesson for today, which has to do with the ascension of Jesus. Do you guys know what the word ascension means? The going up. So what happened with Jesus in the reading?
Up and away.
Good job. He went up and away, right? You made a craft in Sunday school where you pull a little thing and he goes up. That's what we're celebrating today, right? Jesus ascending into heaven. But I want to read this verse to you from John chapter 12. Will you listen really close for me? This is verse 32, and Jesus says some really important things here, okay? So listen close. He says, "And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself. I, when I'm lifted up from the earth, will draw all people unto myself." What is Jesus saying to us there? What is he talking about? That he will bring everyone to himself, to heaven. Good job. Yeah, so when he's lifted up from the earth, what do you think he's talking about there? When was he lifted up from the earth?
On Ascension Day.
Good job, on Ascension Day. When it happened once before that too, though. When was another time?
When he rose from his grave.
Okay, well, he didn't come up from the earth when he rose from his grave, but before he rose from the grave, what happened to him? He died on the cross. Right? You knew, yeah. He died on the cross. And when, think about the cross, when they nailed him to the cross, then they picked him up from the earth. Okay? So what Jesus is telling us is that through the cross and through the ascension too, that he will draw all people to himself. And you know how he does that? Through his... Good job, by the Bible, through his word. He tells us of his love and his forgiveness that he won on the cross. And then when he ascended into heaven, then he sent the Holy Spirit, which is the gift that God gives us that allows us to say, I believe in Jesus and I believe the Bible. Okay? Awesome. Okay, let's fold our hands and bow our heads and close our eyes and we'll say a prayer. Okay, kids, repeat after me. Ready? Lord Jesus, we thank you that you loved us enough to die on the cross for our forgiveness. Thank you for ascending into heaven and promising to come back. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you guys for coming up. That's a pretty cool craft. I wish I could have seen that one where Jesus goes up. That's cool. Cool idea for ascension. Love it. Our next reading for ascension is from Ephesians chapter 1. As we read through this, I encourage you, pay attention to one specific word in its various forms as we read, and the word is glory, as we read this lesson. For this reason, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power towards us who believe, according to the working of his great might that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We stand now as we sing our Alleluia verse and for the reading of the gospel. Gospel according to St. Luke, the 24th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Then Jesus said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures and said to them, "Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things, and behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you. But stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high." Then he led them out as far as Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. While he blessed them, he parted from them and was carried up into heaven. And they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple, blessing God. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. We join now together in our hymn of the day. It's hymn 587. I know my faith is founded. Let's sing together.
Thank you.
Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and from our ascended Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. As we behold the glory of our risen Lord this morning on Ascension, or our observance of it, I want to stop and consider something very important in our lives, and something that often goes unexamined as we go about our day today and week to week and month to month. And what I'm talking about is the idea or the concept of glory. Stop and think about glory for a moment. We'll call our American flag Old Glory, right? And everybody's pretty much familiar with the comment, he or she took all the glory for themselves. And we're familiar also with what a glory hog is, not a pig. We know what it means when someone comments to us about their glory years. And we've often seen the winning team bring what we call glory to their school or their community or their country. But I still have to ask, at the end of all that talk about how we use the word glory, what is it? What is glory actually? Can you define it? Can I? It's tricky. It's hard to define. If you look it up, you'll find it has many definitions, actually. It's hard to understand. It's hard to even think about if you just focus on that and say, what is glory? How do I understand it? And you try to process that in your mind. It's hard. Ephesians chapter 1, as I pointed out, to pay attention to the word glory as we read, Paul calls God in verse 17 in that text, the Father of glory, if you caught it as we went through there. The Father of glory. And then in verse 18, he spoke of the riches of the glorious inheritance in the saints. And I wanted to know what he's talking about when he says glory, or the Father of glory. And that got me going this week, I'll be honest. Chasing it down, trying to figure it out, reading everything I could find, trying to understand. And then I realized, I think it's true for us here today, that in our gospel reading, Jesus was so kind as to open the scriptures to his people. And I pray that he'll open us up to them today too, and them to us, because he's promised that he's here with us. To understand glory, we're going to need God's help, because only in him could we really understand it. And I think there's a reason for that. Since he's the Father of glory, that's what Paul called him. And that means he doesn't just possess some glory like some of us might, but he's actually the originator of it. He's the very thing itself. He's the genuine article. He is glory, the Father of it. And that would mean that all glory comes from him. All of it. That apart from him, nothing is glorious. Think about that. No matter what we might call glorious, apart from him, nothing is glorious, because he is the essence of it. And I think that makes sense. Because which one of us could have glory, or who could have glory on the earth that was apart from the things that he made? Well, nothing, because everything we know is what he made. We could not have glory apart from creation, apart from our bodies, apart from the air that we breathe that's not ours, and apart from everything about us that God created. So it makes sense that it has to all come from him. Any glory, I mean. And because of that, the commandments come to us and they tell us that we should give all glory to God. We should have no other gods before him. And as Christians, we say all the time, sola de gloria, or glory to God alone. And it was the angels, if you recall, at the birth of Christ that cried out, "Glory to God in the highest." And that glory will come and bring peace and goodwill on earth. But how does it work, right? That's what I was so hung up on. And what is it? Again, Lord, help us understand it. Well, in order to understand it, or at least try this morning, I want to take a look with you at what it's not. Because it's often a helpful way to really understand something is to look at its opposite, right? So let's look at back in Genesis chapter 3, if you'll recall with me for a moment. Back then, when they had it, and then they lost it. What was that text about? If you recall that text from Genesis 3, verses 9 through 11, I'll read it again. The Lord called to the man and said to him, "Where are you?" And he said, "I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." And God said, "Who told you you were naked?" Have you ever wondered what that text means? I have. What does that mean? What's going on here? I mean, why do people still wear clothes today? I'm glad that we do. But why? What's going on in this text? I think it might be all about glory. All about glory. Because what happened is God created Adam and Eve, and he made them glorious according to this true definition of glory that we've seen this morning. Him. They had the essence of glory. They had the image of God, or the imago Dei. They had it all. And then they disobeyed, and they broke his commandments, and they found for them something else. The antithesis of glory. They discovered in that text that we just read their shame. Shame. It is exactly what glory is not. It's the reverse of it. When Adam and Eve fell, they fell from exactly true glory, and they lost fellowship with God, and all they accomplished was finding for themselves shame. And it's the same today, friends. For many are on this same exact journey, a long road to discovery of something, and by God's grace, that'll be their shame. It can be a hard road, thinking that we've got something to prove, thinking that we've got something to show, trying to prove something to ourselves, and we're on a road, and all we're going to find is shame. Are we still having to find glory? Or have we? Believe it or not, I think we kind of have already defined it. It's just that glory is not a static concept. It's not just an idea. We've seen this morning, I think quite clearly, that glory is actually a person. It's God. And I think that glory might be sort of hard to understand and hard to conceptualize as a gift to us. Because God is glory, and glory is God, period. And because God is the Father of glory, then glory can't exist apart from him. It also, look at this with me, has to exist in community. It's another interesting thing about glory if you really start to think about it. Glory has to be given. It has to be in community in order to exist. It cannot exist in a vacuum. It cannot exist with just one individual in one place all by themselves. There would be no glory. Glory can't be claimed, because as soon as we try to claim glory for ourselves, it turns to shame. And it's gone. And we already saw that in Genesis chapter 3. Glory must be given, and we've seen this morning. And every other idea of glory is counterfeit. If someone's claiming glory for themselves, it's a counterfeit version of what glory really is. It's the psalmist says in Psalm 19 that the heavens declare the glory of God and the skies are his handiwork and the earth is giving glory all the time. And you know what we're up to so often? We're not seeing the glory that it's showing. We're trying to use it to get our own glory. Glory's got to exist in community. And you have to ask then, okay, well, how does this work with God then? Because we just said, and Paul did, God's a father of glory. So who's giving him glory? If it has to be given, like we've said. He is. This is how the scriptures talk about it. John 17 says, Father, the hour has now come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you. And in John 16, the Spirit is included in this glory exchange, and it happens also in Matthew chapter 3 at Jesus' baptism. The Father's glorifying the Son's glorifying the Father and Son are glorifying the Spirit, and the Spirit's glorifying the Son and the Father. The book of Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3 says that Jesus is the radiance of the glory of God. John's gospel says the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. Glory exists in community. Someone has to give glory to someone else. Apart from community, there can be no glory. And as we know, God is both one God and in three persons, and so he handles that himself. He is the Father of glory, the very essence of it, the genuine article, henceforth his glorious nature. So what about us? Well, it should remind us, it should show us our baptism. That in our baptism, we were baptized into the name of that which is glory. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Baptism was God including us in his glory again, forgiving what we'd achieved for ourselves and the shame that we'd earned, and calling us his own children and recreating us in Christ and bringing us back into this exact humanity and what it was supposed to be in the first place, glorious. And I don't know why we get hung up on chasing the counterfeit stuff, but we so do. The success and the accolades of this life, the money and the compliments, and we want to win. And if you really consider it and boil it all down, we just are trying to get the glory. But it's not ours alone. And as we seek it out there, like we said, we only find and discover shame when we go about that track. We only see our own nakedness and our own lack. We talked about this last week. The world is a crazy carnival. And all around us are crazy carnival mirrors that we're measuring ourselves by. And we're looking in those mirrors to try to get an image of who we are and try to understand our value. But we're looking to the wrong place. Those are skewed images. We'll find nothing but shame. And our own shortcomings is what we'll end up seeing. But when we're confronted with God's word, he gives us a clear picture of who he says we are. We're his children. We're in his family. We're saints. We're holy in him. And glorious. Because he's baptized us into glory. We can't earn in this life what we truly seek. To get glory with skewed images of what we can never achieve, Jesus gives us by going to the cross, by being resurrected and ascended, and through it all delivering what we need, his glory. At the cross, he gave us himself. And this amazing reality is that when we go out and try to find our own glory in this world and we find shame, God knew it. He knew exactly what happened in Genesis chapter 3 would happen over and over and over again. And so what did he do? He came to us in the person of his son, nailed to a cross at a criminal's death. He came to save through shame, according to the world. And by doing that, he's repurposed what glory actually is. And now even our shame, God will use to bring us to his glory through the forgiveness of sins and the blood of Jesus. He's literally short-circuited the whole thing for you and for me. So when we go chasing the things of the world, the glory of the world, and we find shame, when we look in the mirror and we're not pleased, when we step on the scale and we're not pleased, and when we try to accomplish everything and we just end up getting tired and worn out and we're not happy with that either and we feel the shame, then guess what? God's going to lead us. That's him leading us back to himself because he's beaten shame too. When we see our sin, remember in the reading from the gospel, Jesus said that forgiveness of sins, repentance and forgiveness of sins had to be preached to the whole earth, beginning at Jerusalem. And then when we see that sin, when we hear that sin, when we're saying, I'm a poor, miserable sinner at the beginning of church, and we actually believe it, that's him leading us back to salvation. That's the law leading us to the gospel, bringing us back to God. So, what in the world is glory? I think that might be the wrong question. I think the question should be, who is glory? And that's our God. That's our Lord Jesus, because he took the shame and he glorified himself even there. And he brings all people to himself through the cross. If I am lifted up, he said, I will draw all people unto myself. So when we find ourselves about this activity of trying to build glory for ourselves, or trying to feel right about ourselves because we've earned this weird version of glory, let us remember our God who is glory. And let us remember that the things in our lives and the blessings in our homes and all of creation is displaying the glory of another, not of us, but of him. And we can go ahead and get busted in that search. Because it's this guy, our God, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who busted us, and he'll bring us back to himself because he loves us. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. At this time, we invite the congregation to please stand if you're able as we confess our faith this morning to the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth,
and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He descended into heaven. And this is the right hand of God, the Father Almighty, from whence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
Come to the time for our prayer of the church. Our response for our prayers this morning is a little different than what we're used to. It's, Lord, have mercy. In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For release and preservation, that he who reigns over the nations would subdue all spiritual enemies under our feet, giving us a share in the victory Christ has won for us. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
for the church, over which Christ is head, that God would give pastors wisdom to hold fast to the message of repentance and the forgiveness of sins, and that he would open the ears of all who hear to rejoice in the fullness of him who fills all in all. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For our homes, that the God who established Jesus at his right hand would give him as companion and consolation for those who live alone. Strengthen the love of husbands and wives. Bless parents and children as they gather around his word. And bless all who are single that they may live for him. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the rulers, authorities, powers, and dominions of this world, that mindful of Christ who reigns far above them, they might govern with wisdom and integrity. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the sick and everyone in any kind of need, we especially name this morning Sylvia Luna, Donna Ford, Kendall Susan and family, Carol Schrader, Wendy Vest, Lindsay McGlone and son Carter Lee, Lucy Walsh and family, Jim Holman, Helen Almdale, Jeff Otto Pollock, Robin Ingrid Miller, Rupert Gallegos, Ella Gonzalez, Debbie Ford, Betty Gray, Sandy Santisteven, Sonny Rumler, and for patience and healing according to God's will, and for those who mourn, we name this morning the family and friends of Ron Simpson, the family and friends of Audra Rendon, CJ Michael and their family. Lord, and all those that you know, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord,
have mercy. For pure hearts that worthily receive the body and blood of Christ, for our forgiveness, life, and salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
O Lord, Heavenly Father, we gratefully remember the sufferings and death of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, for our salvation. Rejoicing in his victorious resurrection from the dead, we draw strength from his ascension before you, where he ever stands for us as our own high priest. Gather us together from the ends of the earth to celebrate with the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb and his kingdom, which has no end, and graciously receive our prayers. Deliver and preserve us, for to you alone we give all glory, honor, and worship, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated. Our offering hymn this morning, as our offerings are collected and presented, is hymn number 477, Alleluia, Alleluia, Hearts to Heaven. Amen. If you've been joining us on the radio this morning, we thank you for tuning into our service and wish you the Lord's blessing as His glory shines upon your life every day. If you're gathered in the sanctuary, we turn over to page number 10 in our bulletins for our service of the Holy Sacrament. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give Him thanks and praise.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who after His resurrection appeared openly to all His disciples and in their sight was taken up into heaven, that He might make us partakers of His divine life. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, blessed are you, Lord of heaven and earth, for you have had mercy on those whom you created and sent your only begotten Son into our flesh to bear our sin and be our Savior. With repentant joy, we receive the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of His body and His blood on the cross. Gathered in the name and remembrance of Jesus, we beg you, O Lord, to forgive, renew, and strengthen us with your word and spirit. Grant us faithfully to eat His body and drink His blood, as He bids us do in His own testament. Gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth, to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb and His kingdom, which has no end. And graciously receive our prayers. Deliver and preserve us. To you alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship, with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when He was betrayed, took bread. And when He'd given thanks, He broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, He took the cup after supper. And when He'd given thanks, He gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." As often as we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until He comes.
Amen. Come, Lord Jesus.
O Lord Jesus Christ, only Son of the Father, in giving us your body and blood to eat and to drink, you lead us to remember and confess your holy cross and passion, your blessed death, your rest in the tomb, your resurrection from the dead, your ascension into heaven, and your coming for the final judgment. So remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Thank you.
thank you for joining our service today at Trinity Lutheran Church in Alamosa, Colorado. We hope this worship service has been a blessing to you. If you would like to support our ministry, please visit our website by searching Trinity Lutheran Church Alamosa. On our website, click the link for Apple or Android devices to upload our app to your phone or tablet. Our app has many resources to help you. Thank you, and may the Lord bless you this week. KSPK.